Hey, everybody. We are back with another episode of the F Stops Here. I'm Monica Sigmund here with Tim and Bev Walden. And we have a very exciting guest that we are so excited to share with you. Jalynn Webb, Tim and Bev's niece, is here to share amazing tips for photographers in the sales room, because I think that's where we all struggle and feel a little bit more insecure and less confident, especially if we're charging higher prices and we're feeling imposter syndrome, all of those kinds of good things. Jalynn is the director of sales and marketing at a dinner theater locally to her in Colorado. She owns a performing arts center for children for after school. And currently she has just been cast as Grizabella in Cats. So if we're lucky, maybe she'll do a little rehearsal of the main song for us at the end. But she did spend several years working with Tim and Bev in their studio. And if any of you have ever been to one of Tim and Bev's programs, you have certainly heard her name come up, because she just had such a powerful impact to their business. And still, even though she's not there now, still has such a lasting effect on what they do and has really shaped what they do and what they teach. So Tim and Bev, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further introduce Jalynn, and we will get the conversation started.
Yeah. Oh my, there isn't enough time to say everything that she does and all of her talents. She is the oldest daughter of my oldest brother, and she's the oldest of five, but every single one of them has immense, I'm not kidding, like immense musical talent. And now their kids have immense musical talent. So it's a very musical family. And of course, being my niece, we saw her every summer. She would come to Kentucky and visit with us. And then when we lost our salesperson, we called her. I think she might have been driving on to her honeymoon or a new place to live or something. And we said, how would you like to come work for us? And of course, Tim's like holding his head, because do you really ever want to hire family? You know, that's always a big no-no. And she said, okay. So she came. She was there one day, and then we left to teach a week-long school. We said, just do what you think, you know, figure it out as you go. And she did. And the amazing experiences that she provided, the amazing sales numbers that she came out of that room with, we were just floored. And, you know, when you think about it, it's kind of like she didn't know there was a ceiling. It's like, what, you know? People will spend money. Why wouldn't they? I mean, because she came into it from a theatrical background, she was great with people. She commanded the room. She had an immense ability to connect with people in seconds, not even minutes. In seconds, she was their best friend. People brought her gifts all the time, which they never did me. I never have figured that one out. But she would get gifts, candy, scarves, let me take you to lunch, you know, gift cards, just everything. And so we're going to tap into that immense brain of hers and heart, which is really the base of everything, is how she communicates with people. And we're going to hold on to your seats, guys, because you really need to get a notebook and take notes on this, because it's amazing. Or record it if you're driving on your phone or something. So Jalynn, take it away.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. You know, I want to, before you do that, I thought I'd just ask you a question, because I kind of get us on target for people to know what exactly we're talking about. Before we started, I made a comment, but I made it like a joke, but I was kind of half serious. Like, will you come back to Kentucky? Pretty please.
We have a caller.
Yeah, it's like,
we have a caller on the line that has a question.
That was
Tim,
the question.
Are you there?
Yeah. Anyway, the other question I had, since I think the answer was no, is this, and I think this is where we ought to go in this particular podcast, is Jalynn, what are a few things that you would tell photographers to help them in the sales room, both to improve their sales and also to understand the value of what they're selling? Because as Monica said, I think it's it's an area that so many of us struggle with, and you're exceptional at it. And it's not because you have a sales catch or pray. It's just who you are and the way you deliver it and your understanding of the purpose. So share some thoughts there.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me. I have such a heart for the photography industry. Some of that is because I was forced as a child to be a model for Bev and Tim. but growing up and seeing the value of that, and as I have gotten older, the precious things in my life are really the photographs that, honestly, that Bev and Tim have taken of my family, of my grandparents, of our families. And I think that's a really important thing to start with, that we live in a world currently, and it is changing constantly, but it feels very fast, everything, right? Fast fashion, fast food, fast. Everything is immediate. And this is something that slows time in a way that creates such an impactful memory on each individual that experiences great photography. So I think starting from a place of the worth of what you do is really important. I think that is almost the number one enemy, right? If you don't believe in what you're doing, how can you convince someone else of its importance? And I do think that this has changed as well. I know back when I was first with Tim and Bev, and you know, before social media and phone cameras and all of those things, the photography industry was in a different place. And a lot of places did have a separate salesperson like I was. And now it has sort of become a necessity, I think, for a lot of photographers to sell their own work. So let's talk about how you do that, because it feels weird, I'm guessing, sometimes to be like, look at me, this is what I did, buy all this, spend all this money on this product. So I'll start first by saying a really simple definition of what I believe selling even is. And that is to give your client, patron, whatever you want to call them, enough information to make an informed decision on what they are getting ready to buy. And whether that answer is yes or no is irrelevant, right? Because your job is to give them that information so that they can make that decision. So if you start there and you think about how am I going to deliver this, that ties right back into what I said earlier about your confidence and your belief in what you're selling. Now, when I would sell for Tim in particular, one of the things that I used to do unbeknownst to him until he got caught in this trap one day, is, you know, I would set up, and I do think setting the scene is important, set the room to a way that feels comfortable, yet not so cozy that you'd show up in sweatpants, right? Because you want to be making a big purchasing decision. You want it to feel like it is something important in that moment. And you want to make this person feel that way. So whatever, I know Bev and Tim do a lot of things. Monica, I'm sure you and Michael do as well. You know, you have snacks, you have an espresso machine, you have beautiful surroundings, you have great music that's playing. In back when I was doing this, the client would walk into the room and see this one image. And this is what I would say, that they would walk in and I would just not talk for a minute, because I'm sure you've heard this saying, the person who talks next loses. So I'll throw in a little Bev and Timisms in here. So we would set the scene for this, the image that just like spoke to us from that session, right? And just let them marinate in that for a minute. And as Tim would always say, the heart buys, the mind justifies. So in that moment, that heart is connecting to what is their face or their child's face or their family's face or their pet's face. You know, all of these things that are so important emotionally to this person, you've created a moment that they are able to connect with it, right? So you let that happen for a minute. And then this is what I would say. And then let's talk about how we change this if you're the photographer. I would say, Tim went through every frame on the camera. This is the olden days where it was filmed. And he went through everything he took. And this is his favorite. And one day, Tim walked by and the woman said, "Oh, Tim, you picked this. Why?" And in the moment, he had to say, "Well," and he looked at me like, "What did you say?" But then I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's what I say to people, you know, because it makes them feel important that this photographer that they have trusted with their money and their time took the time to look through it." Now, here was my other trick. So every once in a while, someone would say, "Well, are there other ones?" And I would say, "Yeah." And I would always have one that was not the greatest expression. And I would show them just one. And they would like, "Oh, well, we don't need to see any of that. We just trust Tim on everything." So how do you, as your own advocate, how do you present yourself in that same way? Well, I like to think about it. Like if you think about, and then I want you all to weigh in. I think about it as being an expert in another field. I think in the arts, and I consider photography, the visual arts, we get a bad rap. Like we can't brag about ourselves, right? That feels weird because it's sort of theatrical and whatever. But a doctor wouldn't walk into a room with a patient and say, "Well, I think you have this issue, but you know, I don't want to brag about what I know about your illness or whatever." We want them to be decisive, right? We don't want to be like, "Hey, what do you think might be wrong with you?" We want to know what they think, right? An attorney, if you went for an issue that you had to hire an attorney for, you don't really want them saying, "Well, I mean, how do you think I should handle you getting sued," right? You want an answer. You want something decisive, and you want to trust in the professionalism, in the knowledge. In those cases, you don't want to pay an hourly rate on some of those things. So you want a decision now. So why do we feel like we can't walk into a room and say, "Look at this. This is what you need to do with this image. This is what how you need to present it. And this is how you need to purchase it."
That's the suggestion that we started, 30 years ago? Yeah. Yeah. Instead of showing everybody everything, we pre-picked. Tim basically did go through every frame at the time of negatives and picked his favorite. And then not only that, but what do you do with it? What size, what finish? Where should it go? You know, this was before ProSelect had rooms you could virtually hang things in. And the other thing, I completely forgot what I was going to say. Never mind.
Can I jump in while you're remembering?
What were you going to say, Mark? Please.
I'd like to touch on, Jalyn, what you're talking about with this notion of bragging about ourselves. I think that just taps right into people's insecurities and imposter syndrome and all of those things. We teach, and I'm really interested to see how you can help photographers kind of embrace this, or how we can help photographers embrace this better. We are trying to explain to photographers that it's not about them, and that if they really focus on the client, then they won't feel like they're bragging. If we can reframe our intentions to servicing our client and just with integrity and respect and being good stewards of their investment, we can't think about somebody else and ourselves at the same time. So if we are truly just focused on them and what it is that serves them well, how the art serves them best, then we're not bragging about ourselves. It's not being vain. It's not pretending to be an expert. It is truly, like you said, Bev, earlier, coming from this heart, right? Coming from our hearts and very sincere. Can you kind of expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that really hits the nail on the head. And I think the start of that is to reframe for that first place. You have to be confident, right, and you have to not waffle on your choices. And I think that's what is important, because if you really do care, here's where I think it can go wrong, right? If you are framing this from the client's perspective and you have mapped all of this out and you have maybe a little bit of resistance and you stutter and you go, that's not really what I was thinking. I didn't think that. And of course you don't need, you know, that's where they lose faith in you and you aren't serving the client anymore. You are serving a fear, right? Mm-hmm. You're serving fear of scarcity or fear of disappointing someone, you know? And I think that's really important. And I think we've lost a lot of that in the world we live in today, of that kind of integrity. Because if you have that kind of integrity, if they say, I love this and I can't spend this right now, you with a clear heart and conscience can say, okay, how do we make this so that you get what you want out of this? Now, I think at y'all's level, you have vetted to the point where, you know, they know what they're walking into, right?
Right, right.
So that again gives you that information and opportunity to be clearer in what you think that the choice is, because you are the expert. And as you are that expert, that means that you put the client's needs first and foremost. And if you are doing that, then you've done your due diligence right from the beginning. From the minute the phone rings or the email comes in and the, you know, design appointment, that's what we call it. I know you all do something very, very similar. And everyone should do that, because that is laying out the expectation again and again and again, right?
Right.
And that is drilling it down. We know this from psychology of sales, many, many things. If everything has to like seep into a person, we also live, be quiet, Siri. She's talking to me for a minute. We live in a world, right, where again, I mentioned this earlier, fast everything, fast fashion. I want this fast. So a lot of stuff we lose because we're not focused anymore. We're not paying attention. So if you're not drilling that same messaging over and over and over again from the beginning, first point of contact with your client, all the way through all of these steps, when you do that, you don't have a surprise in the sales room, so that you
for can't, either of you
for yeah. either of you
for either right. of you.
Like you have right. set you've set you know you've set your client up for success in, you know. And I think a lot of people in the olden days were so afraid of that, it felt icky,
right,
when you get there, like, I didn't expect this at all. And now I feel trapped. And then there's that resentment right. that happens. Right. And none of that is good for you, because then you feel like you're always being sneaky, and it's really terrible for your client.
Absolutely.
I can list on one hand the number of people that were surprised in my sales room. And right. it was because they were not present in other places, or, you know, something, the ball got dropped. They sent somebody else at the last minute. Oh, I'm not going to come. Or my husband was supposed to be here and they can't come. Or one particular woman with giant angel wings who was living on a different planet.
Yep.
So it didn't matter what we said, right? Like there was, but everybody else had such a great experience in the sales room because they were informed, they were prepared, they were ready to go. And then they could also lean on the fact that we believe in what we are creating. And there is an artist there saying, hey, this is important for you. I'll never forget a customer, and I've told this story before on other platforms, that, you know, back in the day, I would book these appointments for Tim multiple times in the very early morning, because we know what kind of light that is outside, right? It's the best kind. And I he was on, and he was, you weren't quite used to that many in a row. And I was like, go, go, go. if you know Tim, he's never really crabby about anything, but I think he was a little tired. Maybe he didn't have all of his coffee. And he was out there setting up with this mom. And she said to him, I don't know if you know this, but this is the most important portrait you're ever going to take because it's of my kids. And that happens every day.
Right.
Teary, even thinking about that.
Right? Yeah. Like,
that is the expectation. And that's humbling in the moment to think that this person, what you don't know their life story. You don't know how long they've saved. It could be they have a bazillion dollars, or this is something that's so precious they've waited for a year. And in that particular moment, that is the most important thing you will ever do. Mm-hmm. What we do as artists is ephemeral. It exists and then it's gone. And as a visual artist, you have this extra awesome piece. You know, for me as a theater artist, it's gone. It's a different crowd. It's, you know, even a show that I do for, I'm getting ready to do Cats for 4 months. I'll never have that experience again with those exact same people. I might work with some of those same people, but that experience will never exist again. What you do is do that, but then you have an actual legacy reminder of it that you can look at the end of the day, which how incredible is that?
Well, damn, if y'all aren't ready to go home and triple your prices and get in the sales room, I don't know what else we can do for you.
I'm almost in tears. Wow.
And it's true, because I think that we get so bogged down in the day-to-day of our business and the payroll or insurance or taxes or scheduling or social media. And I think it's just such a good lesson, that story, because none of us became photographers to do those things. Mm-hmm. None of us became photographers because we thought we were going to make a truck ton of money. Let's be honest. We became photographers because it was emotional. It was meaningful. It was something that we could do to leave a mark. There's, even if we couldn't articulate it at that time, there was something inside of us that was drawn to this particular art form and profession. And so when you can tap back into that, like you said, Jalynn, and really think about, it's their most important portrait. You know, we might do this 5 times a day, 5 times a week, whatever. They're doing this once a year at the most. So I think I'm glad you brought that up. And in terms of preparation, and Tim, I know I want you to weigh in here for this too, but in terms of that pre-planning, that really helps photographers feel more comfortable going into the sales room and more confident, as well as the client. You want to touch on that, Tim?
Yeah, I do. I think your sale only concludes in the selection appointment. It doesn't happen there. As a matter of fact, if it happens there, for me, it's more of an uphill battle, because I think the preparation is absolute key. It's, a lot of people think preparation is like getting all your ducks in a row to take a better photograph. But really, it's more about making a connection, building a relationship, learning the story, finding the purpose and how this art is going to serve that family, so that your selection appointment becomes a fulfillment of that. And the more work you do ahead of time leading up to that, I mean, Jalynn, could you imagine getting on stage and you've never rehearsed, don't know what your lines are? I mean, it's like, go do this. I mean, you made it happen here when we left you that first week, but,
sorry.
but the reality is you've got to have a familiarness being with what you're doing, and then you take ownership of it. And mm-hmm. then when you go on stage, it comes from a different place. Yeah. I think sales, Jalynn, are exactly the same thing. I think Jalynn could walk in a sales room, not know anybody, and do a better job than me. But she's nowhere near her potential if she doesn't have that preparation. And so I think you know, that you can say, how can I improve my sales? And you can do certain things and you can be better just in that sales room, but you're nowhere near your potential, because your potential lies in relationship. It lies in purpose and understanding people. And then the confidence doesn't come about, you're confident about they need a 30 by 40. You're confident about this is the art piece that's going to fulfill the vision that's been established. You agree with that, Jolynn?
I agree with it so strongly. I mean, and this might seem, you know, like a blasé way to say it, but I say this all the time to my team here, and that's plan your work and work your plan. Like, that little simple statement sets you up for success every time. And I can tell you that working with Tim and Bev, it never was about working from the size and the price back to what fit. Every session was different. Sometimes it was multiple smaller images that fit the bill for this particular session or family. And sometimes it was one standalone image, right? So I think that is another area where if you trust in yourself as an artist, you have done all that work with your customer, as Monica said, and you have allowed them to be a partner in this whole conversation, then you know going into it, you know what their home looks like, you know what their need is. You're not going to sell them something that doesn't suit their life. Because mm-hmm. if you do, that's when they go, you don't care about me. You're just trying to sell me something.
And that's when you know in your heart, you're being sincere and genuine. And then it becomes a pleasure to, quote, sell.
Yes.
Because you're looking at it not as a sell, you're looking at it as a service.
Yes. Yes. You're looking at it as finishing the circle of this creative journey that you've taken with your customer.
I love it.
Good stuff.
I love it too.
Wow. This is amazing. Well, the bad news is this episode is over, but the good news is we're going to stay online with Jolynn and record another episode. So you'll hear from her again next week. So thanks everybody for joining us again. We are the Portrait Paradigm, Tim and Bev Walden, Monica Sigmund, Michael Taylor, who's not with us. Rod will be back soon. And of course, our special guest, Jolynn Webb. Thank you everybody for coming in. And not see you next Wednesday. You'll hear from us next Wednesday.
Yes.
All right. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.